comfortable.
This is Farron Jensen. I live in Los Alamos Beach. My grandparents all came from Denmark, in different cities in Denmark, scattered over much of the country. They came about 1850, and I think all of them came within a year or two of each other. They were all single as they left Denmark. My maternal grandfather and grandmother were married on board ship coming across. I do not know when my paternal grandparents were married. They came across, insofar as I know, because of religious reasons. They joined the Mormon Church in Denmark and came soon after the United States. While my grandparents were crossing the water in a boat, they hit a very rough storm, and most of the passengers believed that the boat was going to sink. My grandfather was not on deck, and some of the people went down to see him below deck and found him reading. They asked him why he was there reading when all of them were frightened, afraid they were going to sink. He looked at them and says, "Well, if you have that little faith, I can understand why you think the ship is going to sink. I have faith, and I do not believe it will sink, and I'm not disturbed about it." And my grandmother, that is my maternal grandmother, told me about crossing from someplace in...
Oh, Farron. What was her name?
Sina was her name. Sina Johansson. And she came across to Utah with one of the Mormon pushcart bodies, I guess you would call it. And she said she walked every foot of the way from someplace in Illinois, which I do not remember, to Salt Lake City. Whether the rest of the grandparents walked or rode, I do not know. Soon after they arrived in Salt Lake, the Mormon Church assigned them duty in central Utah, and they left within months to Mount Pleasant, Utah, which is in the center of the state. And there my grandfather started to farm, and he farmed until his death in 1920. One story my grandmother told me when I was not too old was about the first winter they spent in Utah when they did not have sufficient food for meals, and they lived mostly on grasshoppers. And my grandmother said, "It may sound pretty terrible to you now, but when we cooked them and ate them, they tasted just very, very good to us." I regret that I did not take the opportunity to talk more to my grandmother. She would have been more than willing to tell me stories and to talk to me about the experiences that she had the first years, all the years that she lived in Utah. But I was not that much interested in the stories. One of the stories that my mother told, when they first came to Mount Pleasant, it was very much of a pioneer area. And the Indians were still hostile. Whether they were provoked or not, they were hostile, and at Mount Pleasant, they built a fort. This was in 1870 or more, or 1880, and my mother tells of a number of times when they sounded an alarm and they all rushed to this fort to be reasonably safe from the Indians, although nothing ever did happen there, although not too many miles away there were Indian massacres that my mother remembered. My maternal grandfather, who married on board ship later, and not too much later after arriving in Utah, sent for the sister of his wife, who came then across, and they also were married. So my grandfather then had two wives and raised a very good family from both sides. So I had a number of cousins that were, or half cousins, or whatever you want to call them. They were the common grandfather, but a different grandmother.
Do you remember ever hearing any of the stories of your ancestry in Denmark?
Yes, I did, and this was told to me by my brother-in-law. They joined, his grandparents joined the Mormon Church while in Denmark, and soon after, I think, his grandfather was accidentally killed while on a job. His wife did not know of the accident until some men brought the body of her husband to her home, dumped it into the street in front of her house, and said, "Hooray for the Mormons," or something of that nature, and left the body there. And his grandmother then lived in Denmark for about a year until she could get money to leave Denmark and come to the United States. Before she could get to Salt Lake City, which was her destination, she had lost 3 of her 5 children, 2 aboard ship, and 1 after she reached the United States. So she arrived with just 2 left.
What do you know of your grandparents in Denmark? What kind of jobs did they have?
I know very little about it. I do know that one, at least, I'm not sure that it was a grandparent or before him, was a fisherman who was lost at sea and was never heard of again. I also know that one of my ancestors was a carpenter, but I presume and believe that most of them were farmers, because in Denmark, farming is the chief industry. When they came to this country, my grandparents all became farmers. And that is about all that I know about them.
Mm. Now, in your own mind, do you remember any of the old Danish statements of the old proverbs, any of the ritual language they used?
No, I do not, Ed. I could understand when my grandparents were talking to friends that they usually talked in Danish, and I could understand as a youngster about what they were talking about, but the language they used seemed to be completely alien to the language that is now used in Denmark, that I couldn't associate the two together. The Danish that I heard in Denmark might have just as well have been Greek to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have been back to Denmark.
Yes, we spent 1 month in Denmark, and we covered much of it by car, visiting the homes primary, where my ancestors lived, not so much to trace their lineage, so to speak, but I wanted to see what those towns were like, get a little feeling of what my ancestors, how they lived, where they lived, and perhaps get a little of the same feeling that they had. We visited churches where we found out by the date of the church in the small town, the date of erection of the church, that they must have been going to that church. In one case, we saw what we believed to be the place where some of my ancestors were baptized, and this feeling was good. We did not go into the records. We did not take the time to search through the official records they had in Denmark because of our language difficulty and the lack of time to do so.
Did you go to any of the churchyards, to the graveyards, to try to find your ancestors?
And when we were in Denmark, the primary object was to find the towns or cities where my ancestors lived. We had expected to find their graves and went to the churches where we found they undoubtedly had been buried around the church. And as well as the custom over there now, they do not maintain the grave sites for anyone more than 25 or 30 years, unless descendants pay more money to the church for the maintenance of the grave. And we were told by some of the people there that was very, very seldom that the church was given money to maintain a grave site that was more than 75 years in that location. So we failed completely in finding any of the graves of my ancestors. We had quite a difficulty in talking to the ministers or whatever they were called in that church, because most of them didn't know English very well. In some cases, we did find those who talked perfect English, but the records, the church records, the burial records of my ancestors, as would be the case with all people who had died, were kept in, not in the towns where they lived and were buried, but in what we would call county seats. Mm-hmm. We did visit one of the county seats, and we were told that to dig into the records would be most difficult for us with not knowing language, and they had nobody that could be freed to do that work for us in any reasonable length of time, and we did not encourage them to do so.
Now, you are of Danish ancestry. You have visited in Denmark. How do you look at Denmark now?
Ed, we found Denmark very fascinating. It was a clean country. No debris, as we sometimes see in our own country. people were friendly. Language would always, I think, be difficult for me, but I presume one could learn it eventually. I do not think I would wish to live there because of the climate. I'm too much accustomed to warmer weather, but I would like to revisit, although even though we spent a month there, we couldn't possibly have seen everything, and even some of the things we saw would be interesting to see again.
Now, you are an artist. You usually work in oils. Have you done any oils of Denmark?
I have quit in oils. I use acrylics. But I did paint several paintings of in Denmark. Some of them have been sold. And a lot more I could paint and enjoy painting, but I haven't. I think four or five paintings in Denmark I did.
Now, from the standpoint of an artist, looking at Denmark and the scenery you saw there, the people you saw there, how do you feel?
It's mostly farming country, Ed, and I have to always look at the possibility that I want to sell the paintings that I paint, and in that respect, it's limited. There's no spectacular seascapes or spectacular views of mountains. In fact, they have no mountains in Denmark. So if it's land, it would have to be a farm scene. The seascapes are not dramatic. They have no rugged cliffs or offshore rocks. The people are fascinating. Some of the harbors, with their boats tied up and their fishermen. I saw a number of views that could be painted. But out in this area, if I'm going to sell, it seemed to me that the purchaser, a prospective purchaser, is more interested in views in the area that we're now living rather than a foreign view. And I really found that out in my painting of not only Denmark but in other foreign countries.